Okay, so today is Tumur Lamed Gimel. Okay, the second to last daf of the Masechta. So I want to talk about a topic which is Nogei Halacha L'Maisa, about Biur Chometz, the destruction of Chometz. It's in the Mishnah. It appears in the Mishnah on daf Lamed Gimel Omed Beis. And there's a fascinating Tosfos. I want to bring out a very interesting idea in the din of Tashbisu. There's a mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tashbisu se'or mibotechem. Torah says you shall remove, destroy yeast, another word for chametz, from your homes. I want to discuss what is the precise halachic definition of Tashbisu. And it all comes from Tumur. You would expect to find the sugya in Masechta Pesachim. But from all places, all of the yisodos to really understand what is the mitzvah of Tashbisu to a certain degree comes from today's staff. Fascinating. Now let's go through all the different building blocks to get to the point we want to make. The Mishnah discusses the sugya on the Aflamid Gimel Lamed Beis of Nikbarin and Nisrafin. There are two different types of items which the Torah wants to be put away, put aside. There are things the Torah wants to be burnt, Nisrafin, and there are things that the Torah wants to be buried. And the Mishnah enumerates all of the different things. So let's read the Mishnah very quickly. Here is a list of items which are to be buried. What are they? Kodashim. If you have an animal, shepilo, you have an animal that's kodesh, it's meant to be going on the mizbech, and the animal has a miscarriage, pregnant animal, and animal has a miscarriage. So what do you do with the fetus and the afterbirth? Kodashim shepilo, you kavru. You have to bury it. The animal which had a miscarriage, it's a dead fetus, you bury it. Hipilo, you kavru, hipilo. Shilyot yikaver. The afterbirth has to be buried. The shohan niskol, an animal which killed another human being, has to be put to death. It's executed by stoning, and the animal is buried. The shohan niskol, the egla arufa, the tzipar mitzorah, the ser nazir. The nazir's here has to be buried. Upeter chamar, ubasa b'cholav, basa b'cholav, basa b'cholav. Do I benefit from basa b'cholav? It's also a behana. What do you do with basa? You bury it, not burn it. The chulin, shishchatubaz, okay, you get the idea. There's a whole long list of things which have to be buried. Then the Mishnah says, I'm skipping the Mishnah to the part that we need our Gemara, ve'eluhein hanisrafin. Now let me give you a list of things which are to be burnt, not buried. And the first item in the list is chometz bePesach. Now the truth is, Mr. Nussbaum, I think somebody's on the door over here. Chometz bePesach. The first item is chametz bePesach, yisareif, is to be burnt. Now, technically, I want to just clarify something. When we burn chametz bePesach, when we burn chametz erev Pesach, that's not really what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about if you find chametz on Pesach itself. So we burn chametz erev Pesach in the fifth hour as a custom, but that's not necessarily. That's an outgrowth of what would happen if you were to find chametz on Pesach itself. It's not necessarily the same thing. The Mishnah's literal case is where a person comes into contact with chametz on Pesach itself. In ancient times, they would actually bake bread on Pesach. They were very they took risks. Can you imagine today baking bread on Pesach? Well, I'll make sure it doesn't turn into chametz. I'll make sure that I'm within 18 minutes. Try that today. See how what's going to happen to you in this neighborhood if you try to bake bread on Pesach. But in ancient times, you need some bread, so we'll make matzah. We'll take some flour and some water. We'll knead it, and we'll put it in the oven. And then we'll just make sure that it's baked before 18 minutes.
Baking matzah,
right?
During Pesach,
exactly. Some people do erev Pesach. They do matzah mitzvah. Then that's erev Pesach, because erev Pesach before chatzos. Because before chatzos, it's a loisa. Say it's tayir karg. There are different people do it erev Pesach, and the matzah they factor is very careful because that's matzah mitzvah. But Pesach after chatzos, they wouldn't do it. No one would do it after chatzos. That's already more serious business. Okay, whatever the case is, But the Mishnah is focusing specifically where a person finds chametz on Pesach itself. So what do you do with the Pesach? What do you do with the chametz? You have to burn it. We, as an extension, are mekayim the mitzvah before, during the fifth hour. We burn chametz as a custom, but it's all really the same. Whatever you would do if you found chametz on Pesach itself is what we do erev Pesach in the morning. Bir chametz, the minig to burn the chametz. Fine. Then it goes on to enumerate more things which must be burnt. Okay, next part. Jumping to the end of the Mishnah. Now this is critical. Very, very critical for our discussion today. The Mishnah says, Kol hanikbarin lo yisarfu. Anything that's part of the set of items that are meant to be buried may not be burnt. The kol hanisrafin lo yikavu. Anything that's meant to be burnt may not be buried. These lists are mutually exclusive. If it's supposed to be buried, the Torah wants it buried, not burnt. The Torah wants it burnt, you don't bury it. You have to follow the rules. It's mutually exclusive. There's one opinion that disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Das Yochid. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda is not the majority opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if you want to be machmir and you want to lisrof, to burn the things that are meant, if you ask the average person what's better, is it better to burn something or better to bury something? So you would probably tell me it's better to burn it. Because if you bury it, what?
Cremation or burial.
You would say it's better. Okay, dealing with it. Is it better to burn? You would say, of course, it's better to burn, because if you bury it, someone can come along and dig it up and can use it. If it's forbidden to derive benefit, it's also behana. If chametz or pesach is also, it's also behana. So be buried to burn, because if you bury it, someone will come along and dig it up and find it and use it and derive benefit. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you want to be machmir, you want to burn the things that are meant to be buried, go right ahead, rashai. Amru lo, the Rabbanon here say, no, you're wrong. Einoi mutter l'shanos, we disagree. They make it very clear, the Rabbanon here leave no room for doubt, the Rabbanon, the majority of people make it very clear, something which is meant to be burnt may not, something meant to be buried may not be burnt, period. This is the Rabbanon. Okay, so we have the basic Mishnah to review the Yesodos. We have things that are meant to be buried, things that are meant to be burnt, and if you're supposed to burn something, according to Rabbanon, you may not bury it, and vice versa, you're supposed to bury something, you may not burn. Both rules apply. Okay, now there's a
Tais. Just to get a better sense, other than the chametz, what other example?
Things to be burnt?
Yeah.
Truma tenea.
Is there any underlying property for things that have to be burned? In other words, a
yes.
Lowest common denominator for burned things and for
no, it's just
they
a list.
They must have something all in common.
Okay, I'm not. There are drushes. The Gemara, that's the will of the next tomorrow's daf. The Gemara goes through all different items and basically shows from the pasuk, goes through the reasons why these things should be buried and why these things should be buried. There are properties, there are characteristics. There definitely are, but I want to just discuss this. Discuss this idea. There's one major nafkamina between the two. That Taisus points out over here. There's a very important Taisus. Brings out a very powerful insight which applies in many places. And he starts off by explaining there's a big difference between things that are meant to be burned, meant to be buried. Ash. Or the dust, basically. I don't know about the ash. Let's say something is the ash of something that's meant to be burnt or buried. Is it permitted for benefit? Every single thing in this Mishnah is osur behana. You may not derive benefit from anything listed in this Mishnah, whether it's meant to be buried or meant to be burnt. Now, let's say you have an item that's meant to be burnt. You burn it. You do what you're supposed to do. And now you have ash. Are you allowed to derive benefit from the ash? Ash in ancient times, even today, is used for many different things. It's used inks. They use for different medications. Are you allowed to use the fertilizer? Are you allowed to use the ash? The answer is, it depends. If this is an item that's meant to be burnt, and you've done what you're supposed to do, yes, go right ahead. It's been burnt, the ash is permitted for benefit. If this is an item that was meant to be buried, and you did not follow the rules, you were supposed to bury this item, you were supposed to bury the Egla Arufa, and you did not follow the procedure, and you burnt the Egla Arufa, you may not derive benefit from the ash of the Parah, of the Egla Arufa. Because you didn't follow, that's the halach. Tosfos asks why. Why is that so? What's the difference? You're supposed to bury the Egla Aruf. Okay, so you didn't follow the halacha. You burnt the Egla Aruf. What is it, a knas? We're going to punish you? You can't drive it. It's not the Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is burnt to a crisp. It's ash. It's dust. I can't use the ash. It's not the Egla Arufa. Okay, I got a sin. Okay, I sinned. I didn't do what I'm supposed to. But why is the ash forbidden? But if chometz, which I'm supposed to burn, I have ash, it's mutter for a bahana. So he says the yisod. The words are, this kevan shetziva hakasav l'sarfa, the Torah says to burn this item, acha she'asa, after you've done what you've been told to do, ki'ilu nases mitzvah so, you've done its mitzvah, the ein l'cha davar shenases mitzvah soy umoyalim ba. Once you do the mitzvah, there's no longer any prohibition. Hachinami kevan shenases mitzvah so halach yisurei. But when it comes to something that you've not done what you're supposed to do, we don't trigger this principle of nases mitzvah. And then we'll explain. If the Torah wants you to burn something, you have an object, you're supposed to do something. Once you've done what you're supposed to do, you're finished. You trigger a rule called, just look at it as a rule, kevan shenaseis mitzvah, so the commandment has been fulfilled, it's over, finished. You can now take the leftovers and do with it whatever you want. When it comes to something which is meant to be buried, I never told you to burn it. I told you to bury it. Oh, so you're going to burn it? There is no mitzvah. What you are doing is not a fulfillment of a commandment. If it's not a fulfillment of a commandment, you do not trigger the principle of naseis mitzvosoi, and now it becomes mutter. It's a given. When you do, it all starts with this principle. When you do what you're supposed to do, the Torah says, now it's mutter. We learn this from other sources, from Me'ilah. We learn this from the story of Me'ilah, seemingly. Yeah?
A byproduct of burial.
Yeah.
And I apply the same concept that I can use it. In other words, the bones turned all to dust.
No, you can't use it.
In other words, it's a byproduct.
Doesn't matter.
Of burial compared to the byproduct of burning.
That's exactly the point we're making. The point we're making is that burial, there is no mitzvah to do something to the object that needs to be buried. There's an object, the mitzvah is to bury the object. Burial means don't do anything to it. Don't transform it. Just put it somewhere. Put it somewhere and leave it there. You don't have the trigger of naseis mitzvah. So the trigger of naseis mitzvah so is when you're supposed to do something specific, something physical to the object itself. Chometz bePesach, you're supposed to do something physically. You're supposed to take the chometz and burn the chometz. When you burn the chometz, it turns into dust. You've done what you're supposed to do. Nasis mitzvaso. Now the ash is mutter. If I take an object where there's no mitzvah to burn, and I burn it, who told you to burn it? I didn't tell you to burn it. You didn't do a mitzvah. If you did not do a mitzvah, it remains in its previous state of prohibition. Egla Arufa is also behana. You're supposed to bury it. You're supposed to put it away. In the ground, you're not allowed to dig it up. Put it there on the ground. Let it decompose. If you're going to dig it up, it'll be also. It's also forever. Wherever it is, it remains forbidden forever. I'm telling you how to remove it from society, to bury it. But if you'll dig it up, it'll remain also. I'm now taking it. I'm going to burn it. I didn't tell you to burn it. I didn't tell you to burn it the same way it was also 5 minutes ago. The remains remain also now as well. Because you don't have the trigger of Naseis Mitzvah, so now it becomes mutter. Okay, that's the basic Yisod of Taisus. Now let's go to Shulchan Aruch. How does one dispose of Chametz on Pesach? You find Chametz on Pesach, you have Chametz. I found Chametz, a Kazayas of Chametz. What do I do with it? How do I dispose of it? So we just learned in the Mishnah of Yom Sechta, Temura, got to burn it. Not so simple. There's a machlekes in Masechta Pesachim. The one of Yehuda same Rabbi Yehuda over here, Taka, that says that's Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, in our mission that says that you could things that are meant to be buried can be burned. He says the way you dispose of chametz is you crumble it and you throw it into the wind. Meforer v'zoyre l'ruach, crumble the throw until you dispose of it, no burning. Along come the chachamim, and the chachamim say, now there are two different girsos. There's a girsa that says af sarfo. Well, I'm not even going to read through the halach in the second inside. The Chum say you can burn it. There's a question, the Chum mean you can also burn it? Or do the Chachame mean only burn it? Now let me read you Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, very short, a point that we need, don't worry, we're going to go quick. It's Ketzad Bir Chametz. How do you destroy Chametz? Sarfa, Shulchan Aruch, burn it. Or Poiro, crumble it, Vezera L'Ruach, and throw it into the wind. Oh, Zorek Layam, throw it into the sea. Now, throw it into the sea. The Im Hoya Acham, that, so it comes then. Let me read to you over the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham here in Shulchan Aruch said, Paro, Rabba Sfil the Chametz by Pirur, Gam Bezorek Layam. Machag, there's another point. Just give me 1 second to find the point that I need over here. Okay, but hard perish chiti. No, this is not the point we need. Hard the kamal kareu l'gabei. No, I'm reading the Taz. No wonder. Sorry. Sorrowful. Here it is. The Gemara didon. Garsin v'cham. Now Gemara it says v'chacham I'm af meforer. Vaday streifa odif elo the af before that the chum are the ones that say, I take it back, I made a mistake. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says in Masechta Pesachim, the only way to destroy chametz is only by burning the chametz. That is the only way you can properly dispose of chametz is only by burning.
So who says making it into
crumbs? The chachamim say. The chum say you can make it into crumbs. The question is, what is the correct girsa? There are two girsos. There's a girsa in the Gemara, girsa in the Rif. One girsa says, af, you can also crumble the chametz. The chum say, the Gemara didon the girsin, the chum say, af mefar, vadai for odif. According to the chum, also agree that you can burn it. Ela the af, you can, besides burning, you also can mefar vadai. Aval girsa sarif, vihorosh, vachachom oimre mefarer. The only way to destroy chametz is only by crumbling the chametz. Now, to make a mashma, dafker mefarer, the chain mashma bitur, shekosa drabon havle mehanik borin, sheofron oser. Oh, so right away he opens up a whole category. Let's explain this. Let's, for the moment now, before we come to Shulchan Aruch, we'll look with the tour. The tour holds that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda completely disagree. Rabbi Yehuda says, burn the chametz. The Mishnah here in Masechta Tmur that says chametz must be burned is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim in Masechta Pesachim disagree. The only way to destroy chametz is to crumble it and throw it into the wind. The Torah explains what's the point of disagreement between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chometz is a din of Nisrofim. It's included in the list. The Chachamim disagree. Chometz is a din of Nikborim. When the Torah says there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu Sarmi Botechem, you shall destroy Sar from your homes, it means bury it. How do you bury it? One form of burial is to crumble it. But he says explicit. He says this that you crumble and you throw it into the wind is a form of burial. It's explicit in the Torah. It's nikbarin. Nikbarin. And the Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. No nisrofit. Now, if that is correct, then before we go further, that's not the way Shulchan Aruch passes. Because Shulchan Aruch says, the Gears says, like what it says in the Gemara, it's not that the Rabbanon hold it's minanik barin. You have a choice. You can either burn it or you can bury it, or you can crumble it into the wind. But let's put aside the Shulchan Aruch just for a moment. We'll come back to the very end. I want to focus on the Torah. The Torah says, this is the way the Torah learns Machlokes, we have a Rabbi Yehuda here in Masechta Tmura, and we have a Rabbanon in Masechta Pesachim, and they disagree. Chometz bePesach, is it from the category of Nisrofin, or the category of Nikbarin? Rabbi Yehuda holds is from the category of Nisrofin, it must be burnt, and the Chacham holds from the category of Nikbarin, and a way to bury Chometz is not a form of burial for Chometz, is not to crumble and throw it into the wind, but not to bury it in the ground, but to crumble it and throw it into the wind. That is the equivalent of burial. And I know it's a stretch, I also am very, very disturbed, but the two explicitly...
Well, the Torah says beferish to burn it.
No, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the point we want to make. In Masechet Pesachim, there is Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. How does one dispose of Chametz? In Masechet Tmura, it says one to burn.
Okay.
The Stam Mishnah following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But in Masechet Pesachim, that's the Ikar Sugya, and there the full scope of the Machlokes is presented, and there are two opinions. There's a Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda says burn it. The Rabbanon, according to the Gears of the Torah, says no, don't burn it. The only thing you can do is to crumble and throw into the wind. And the way the Torah learns Shan the Gemara is they're arguing there in Masechet Pesachim is Chometz Pesach Midin Nikbarin, or is the Midin Nisrofin? And if you learn this Midin Nikbarin, it's a Chiddush. Way you bury chametz is not by putting it in the ground; it's by crumbling and letting it go into the wind. That's the called the burial. But the Mishnah here in Masechta Tumah is making a statement and is paskening like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the way you dispose of chametz is through burning. Now, if that's correct, we got a big problem on our hands, because the end of the Mishnah just concludes and says, according to the list of chachamim, something which is meant to be burnt cannot be buried. Something that's meant to be buried cannot be burnt. They're mutually exclusive. And not only are they mutually exclusive, the main point we want to make now is there's a very big fundamental difference between burning and burial. If you burn something, the ash is mutter. If you bury something, or something that requires me'ikar ha'din, or requires burial, if you were to burn it, the ash is osur. Now, here's the problem. Now, the Torah himself says that the only way you dispose of chametz is, the Torah himself says that the Rabbanon hold it has to be mefarer v'zorlum, according to the Rabbanon. And the Torah says if you do burn the chametz, the ash is osur. The ash indeed, now that really fits well according to the understanding of the Torah. The Torah, you know, is of the opinion that if you take chametz and you burn chametz, the ash is us. We halacha l'maisa paskin, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, that the ash is mutter. But the Torah paskins, the ash is us. So basically, the point we want to make, and we're coming, is that we have over here as follows. The Torah learns. There is a machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. What is the method of destroying chametz? Is it nisrofin or is it nikbarin? Rabbi Yehuda holds nisrofin, and the Rabbanon hold it is min hanikbarin. We learned nafkamina between Nisraf and Nikbarim is what is the status of the ash. If it's to be burnt, the ash is mutter. If it's Nikbarim, the ash is osur. The Torah says if you do burn the chametz and you do follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and you burn the chametz, guess what? The ash is still osur. But why? If you're going to go like the Rabban, like Rabbi Yehuda, and burn the ash, so burning is a kiyum you've triggered the din of nases mitzvah, so and the ash should be mutter. So to make a long story short, I'm going to come back, cover the ground of what I'm missing in a few moments. There's a sefer called Yad Binyamin. Yad Binyamin was written by Rebbe Yashiv's son. It's a very famous sefer. I think he wrote on the entire Shas. This fascinating chidushim on Shas. And he says, in order to understand the Torah, you have to say as follows. On Pesach, we have a mitzvah of tashbisu, to destroy chametz. As a token of tashbisu, we burn chametz erev Pesach, erev Pesach. When you burn the chametz erev Pesach, or if you were to find chametz on Pesach, and you were to burn chametz, what exactly are you doing to the chametz? So here's the chakir. It's like a long mission, a type of a Rabbi Chaim chakir. Is it the pshat that the chametz is a chefza de isura? It's an object that is forbidden, and I have to destroy it. The Torah says, "Kichol," says, "Tashpisu seor mi botechem." The seor, which is chametz, destroy. Tashpisu. It's an unusual word for destroy, but it means destroy. If the goal is to destroy the chametz, when I destroy it, we trigger the principle of Tosfos. Naseis mitzvosoi. The mitzvah has been fulfilled. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And now, whatever's left over, any residue from this kim ha-mitzvah should become mutter. Einachanami. That is indeed the way the Rambam learns, and the way the Shulchan Aruch learns, is that according to the Rabbanon, the din of tashbisu is a mitzvah to take the chametz, to destroy the chametz. And once you destroy the chametz, you've been kind of the mitzvah. Naseis mitzvosoi, and the ashes mutter. But the Torah doesn't learn like that. The word tashbisu doesn't mean destroy. Tashbisu comes from the Shoresh Shabbos, Shavas. The goal is, you have to create a situation where the chametz just doesn't exist. Torah's not telling you, chametz, destroy it. No, it's more encompassing. The chametz just can't. That don't destroy the chametz. Pesach is a zman where chametz cannot exist in this world and under your authority, in your possession. See to it that the chametz doesn't exist. I'm not telling you to destroy it. I'm telling you that you should silence it. You should create an environment where there is no chametz. It may just happen to be that the only way to get rid of the chametz is to actually destroy it. I mean, you can eat it before Pesach begins. You can eat it. You can do many things to make sure you just don't buy it, and the mail will disappear. But tashbis, see to it that chametz is in a state of Shabbos. It's in a state of rest. I'm not telling you to destroy. Therefore, if you find yourself in a situation where it's Pesach and you have chametz in your possession, and now you're going to take and you're going to destroy it. Did I tell you to destroy it? Are you doing a mitzvah? Is it a chefza de yisur? You're doing a mitzvah? I didn't tell you to destroy it. Therefore, the ash remains osur. If the chametz, the chefza de yisur, and I'm telling you to destroy it, then we trigger the principle, kevan, shenaseis mitzvasan, it becomes mutter. But if you have an item which is meant to be buried, for example, the Egel Arufa, this item is meant to be buried. You decide, you know what? I'm going to burn it. I didn't tell you to burn it. So even though you are burning it, you're not doing what I told you to do. Therefore, you do not trigger the principle of Naseis Mitzvasan, and it becomes Mutter. You only can trigger it becoming Mutter when there's something called Naseis Mitzvasan. I never told you to burn the Egel Arufa. I told you to bury the Egel Arufa. You want to burn the Egel Arufa? Okay, good, you burnt it. You didn't do my mitzvah. You didn't do my mitzvah. You don't trigger the Heter. I never told you to burn the Chametz. I told you to create for yourself on Pesach a situation where you don't have in your possession Chametz. Now you find in your possession chametz. You got to get rid of it. The way you're going to get rid of it is going to burn it. Okay, that's a very productive way to. But that's not cool. That naseis mitzvasan, that the object has been. You have done a mitzvah to the object that I commanded. Being that there is no naseis mitzvasan, there is no trigger that it becomes mutter. It's like an item nigbarin whose ash remains forbidden. That is why the what?
Not like
Tosfos. Tosfos says anything where it's naseis mitzvasan becomes mutter, but there has to be a naseis mitzvasan according to the Torah. Chametz is something which is nikbarin, is meant to be buried. It's not your typical type of burial. It should not exist. the way the nigbarim of chametz is not a nigbarim of putting it in the ground. It's a nigbarim of crumbling and throwing into the wind. It means get it out of your life. There's no. It's not a chefza di isura which has a mitzvah. If it was a chefza di isura which has a mitzvah, then you trigger the principle of naseis mitzvahs and memela, the leftover residual item that you have from this becomes mutter. But being the chametz according to the Torah is not from the nisrofin, it's from the nikbarin. It's something which is meant to be buried, and the form of burial by chametz is crumbling and thrown into the wind. It's not considered to be a chefza di isur. If it's not a chefza di isur, you don't have the trigger that it becomes mutter after you destroy it. And that's why, according to the Torah in Hanami, there is a mitzvah for the Be'ikar Hadin, the way one disposes of chametz on Pesach according to the Torah is like the Rabbanon. It is part of the items that is called Nikbarin. And even though it's true that we allow you to, it's an exception to the rule that we do allow you to burn the item which is Nikbarin, because the Torah also says that we follow the Chacham, that you really have a choice. There's a choice of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. There's a din of Sreifa, and there's a din of crumbling to the rule. But the Torah never goes away from the principle that the Iker is like the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon, the Chametz, the Pesach is in the category of Nikbarin. And Nikbarin means that there's no such principle of Naseis Mitzvasa. And even though we're going to give you an option in this situation to burn it, good. That's just a practical way that you can bury it in this situation. But it still has the shame Nikbarin. And anything that has the shame Nikbarin automatically does not have a trigger of Naseis Mitzvasa to allow the ash to become mutter. And that's why the Torah L'Shitaso holds that The ash remains also. We don't paskin like this. We paskin like the opinions that say maybe perhaps halach is beikar is lie that the rabbanon hold that we paskin really both. We paskin that it's something which is nikbarin and nisrofin. And if you want to take the approach of nisrofin, we'll treat like a chefza di isura, and we'll allow you, according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that chometz is something that's called minan nisrofin, which means that it's a chefza di isura. If it's a chefza di isura, we trigger the rule of naseis mitzvos and the ash becomes mutter. So halacha l'maisa, we taking the best of both worlds. If you don't want to be machmir, you can hold it be minach and nikbarin. If you want to treat it like nisrofin, we'll let you treat full-fledged like the din nisrofin. We'll let you treat the chametz like it's a chefza di isura, where it's naseis mitzvasan, which triggers the rule that the ash is mutter. Fine, we're very lean, shulchan aruch, that's the halacha, we're lean, shulchan, we take the best of both worlds. But the Torah is very nice. The Torah holds that the truth is there's a Rabbanon and there's a Rabbi Yehuda. We pass them like the majority opinion. It's Menanik Bart. We make an exception that we allow you also to burn it. But just because we're being so generous to allow you to burn the chametz for whatever reason on Pesach, it does not take away from the fact that chametz is midin nikbarin. And the Mishnah says something which is nikbarim is not from the nisrofin. And if it's, what's the nafkamin of halacha? Taisus says if it's minanik barin, the ash is also. In nisrofin, the ash is mutter. Why? Because nisrofin is a chefsa di sura naseis mitzvasan that you have. Become the ash becomes mutter. Nikbarin, you don't have that. So it's fascinating. When you go Erev Pesach and you take the chametz and you put the chametz in the fire and you now be mekayim a token of the mitzvah of tashvi, so what exactly are you doing? Is the chametz that you, the bagel that you throw into the, is this a kiyum of nikbarin or is the kiyum of nisrafim? If it's a kiyum of nisrafim, that means the bagel that you're throwing into the fire, it's a chefza di isura. It's a chefza di isura. When it now burns in the fire, it's naseis mitzvasan. You can take the ash home and put it on the counter. You have a token, you have a zecher. But if you learn that, know that when you're putting the bagel in the fire, you're really eating a kiyum of dinner from the nikbarin. Chazal made an exception, allowed you to burn it also. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the inherent din of that bagel is minanik barin. If it's minanik barin, you're not triggering a naseis mitzvasan. So the ash will remain also even after it's all burnt. Okay, that's the aside.
So when you see me burning it, I'm thinking I'm really minanik barin.
That's the question. You have to ask, is this minanik barin or minanik srofin? And the nafamina is the Tyson Tavur, Daf Lama Gimel.
When I'm burning that bagel,
yeah,
are you ready to march? can I have hanor from the heat? Let's say I burn and I get hanor from the heat.
L'chorinat.
The juke.
L'chorinat.
Because he said I can have
it's hanor. It's also the hanor. Chameid is also the hanor. That's called having hanor.
No, it's
a sin. There's a hasugi in the Gemara. It's very burnt.
You can have hanor from the Zarosh.
Okay, could be, maybe you can. I don't know the answer. I do not know.
What they bring in about
the sugyo, it's already burnt. The time that you're having hana, it's no longer in its original state. There's a Gemara. I think Gemara talks about this. And Shabbos, there's such a sugyo.